Good morning. This is Rainmakers on another Monday, the first Monday of August. Today is August 4th, and I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, here with the Monday segment of the Positive Talk Radio show here in Tucson called The Morning Voice. Matt Neely, how are you doing today?
I am doing well, thank you. It's a beautiful day. It's a little warm, but that's the price you pay for living here.
That's right.
So we
can't have rain every Monday.
We'll just bear through it. But it's a beautiful day. Yeah, so I'm happy to be here.
It certainly is, and that breeze this morning always helps.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful weekend. I hope you had a wonderful weekend as well. Lots going on all around the state, and as we are getting into this final push of, for some, summer vacation, some are getting ready to start classes pretty soon, and others are taking their final time off before we get into the fall. So it's a good time. I'm excited this morning. We are going to have several wonderful guests. And starting out this first segment, we've got on the phone Ruth Ann Strom, who is a colleague and a friend and a wonderful leader here in Arizona, making great things happen for many families, individuals, and even small businesses, as she is the executive director of the ARC of Tempe, ARC being such a great organization that has been around in up there in central Arizona for 60 years, dedicating itself to fostering greater inclusion and a sense of belonging for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, not only just in Tempe, but surrounding communities. And she has great relationships here in Southern Arizona, too. Ruth Ann, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Lydia. Good morning, Matt. Thank you for having me.
We're so excited about this. I know that the summer has just gone by in a flurry, I'm sure for you as well. And I know that you've been traveling lately. You were back east recently, no?
Yes, I was. I was in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. back in April. And every year we go, Eric and my colleagues, we go for the Disability Policy Seminar. And it's really important for our organization and people with disabilities. And it's a three-day convention. First 2 days, we have informational sessions, breakout sessions. And then that third day, we go to the Hill. And so we have the opportunity to speak with our local representatives on the Hill, which is really impactful. And with, you know, so much going on these days, it really matters.
You bet. It's very dynamic times, as they say.
Absolutely.
Well, that's wonderful. And even though you do that in the spring, that really formulates or helps to inform both what you're taking up to our leaders on the Hill, but also bringing back information and perhaps calls to action or other kinds of activities that then help inform not just the spring and summer, but really kind of what's to come in the upcoming year. Yes, policy and decisions. Yes. And kind of who the champions are and who might need a little more nudging.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really powerful to go to D.C. and see where, you know, where decisions are made, how
right.
they're made.
Yeah.
And we've been blessed to be able to take some people that are members of our self-advocacy coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And so been able to take them with so they can, they're, you know, from their small parts of Arizona, and so it's pretty amazing. So they can also see where decisions are made and how they're made and how their voice matters.
Well, and that's so important because one of the pillars, actually you have three core pillars, I think, in your community-based programs at the ARC. And one is recreation, one is volunteerism, uh-huh. and the other is self-advocacy. And I really like that because while you and your fellow team members and other ARC affiliates around the country are advocates in and of yourselves, you are actually teaching others to be advocates for themselves. And it sounds like being able to have some folks accompany you up to D.C. and all around and up on the Hill is probably very exciting for some folks.
Well, absolutely. And every year I go, I'm still excited.
It's, yes. It's a really high energy time up there anytime somebody goes.
It definitely is. It's just amazing. And they do such a great job with the parks and with the monuments. And there's just so much to learn about our history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a huge, robust, bustling city. I love it.
Wonderful. Well, just to take a step back for a minute, I would love to let our listeners know a little bit more about you, Ruth Ann, and about the ARC itself. So you are executive director. You've been in that role for several years now, but you are not new to advocating in the space of intellectual and developmental disabilities, other types of special needs and disabilities. You've been in this field for quite a long time, if I remember. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up in this role.
Sure. So I've been with the ARC of Tempe for almost going on 6 years, actually, in just a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been an amazing, amazing time in my life. I've worked in nonprofit for many, many, many years. Devereaux and some smaller local organizations. And my personal story is that both of my parents have intellectual and developmental disabilities. And so pretty much, you know, my whole life I've been advocating and, you know, taking care of my parents to the best of my ability when I was younger. My grandparents were very active in my life, but that's what I'm talking about, creating opportunities and teaching advocacy, what advocacy looks like, you know, locally, nationally, and in their personal lives, their work lives.
Mm-hmm.
We should all be an advocate for ourselves and others. And so my long history is, I just feel like I've been doing this my whole life practically.
Mm-hmm.
When I first realized what advocacy was, and you know, when you're younger and you don't realize that the things you say and the things you do are being advocates.
Yes.
For people that maybe cannot or don't know how to advocate for themselves. And the goal is to teach people how they can do that for themselves.
That's fantastic. And I think you really hit on a good point that when you are growing up doing this, and I think this rings true for so many topics or so many behaviors, you only know what you know, especially as a child and as a youngster and then a young adult. What you come from is normal to you, and it might be easy to think that other people have those same experiences till you kind of get out and broaden your circle a little bit and say, oh, you know, maybe this is something that is a little bit more unique to my own situation and a skill that I've developed that maybe not everybody else has. So it helps allow you to be an example for others, a role model, a teacher. And I just love that that's a theme in everything that you do. You're trying to say, how is it not only that we are helping others, but helping others to help themselves?
Absolutely. That's always the goal, is to share the knowledge and share experience and to make everybody's lives a little better.
Just a little bit better, and do it in ways that can have a ripple effect and go on for generations to come. So for folks who aren't familiar with ARC, what does ARC do? How was it founded? I think it was founded by out of parents who were caring and wanted to care for others and wanted to help spread that type of ability, just like what you were saying. You like to share that with others, teach them how to self-advocate. So established back in 1965, I mean, a lot was going on in our country then for civil rights and other rights and really speaking up and being advocates. Was that the movement that kind of created what is now known as ARC?
Yes, I believe so. I know for our chapter, we were celebrating our 60th birthday this year, and it was founded by parents that couldn't find resources, couldn't find options, couldn't find anything for their children. And, you know, back in the 60s, it was much different than
Sure. It
is now. You know, people weren't getting diagnosed. And for my parents were born in the 40s. And so there really wasn't anything. people didn't have discussions about disability. They didn't have discussions about mental health. And that really hasn't changed, I think, until recently, really. And so our Tempe, our chapter, is independent of the other chapters. So ARC is a national organization, and we have independent chapters, but we do have affiliation, if that makes sense.
Yes. So you affiliate with each other. There's brethren there, yeah. but each ARC, each affiliate, gets to operate in and of with its own leadership, its own, decision on what kind of programs or what kind of outreach in a certain geographical area. Is that correct?
It is correct, yes. And so we are financially independent of each other. Mm-hmm. And most ARC chapters nationwide do advocacy. Advocacy is at the forefront of the ARC national and all that we do. And also some of the chapters have thrift stores. That's actually very common with the other ARC chapters. The ARC of Tempe did have one years ago, and that's something that I'm working on bringing back, is working on another thrift store, because it brings in revenue to help support the programs mm-hmm. that we do. Mm-hmm. And it also provides job opportunities for people with disabilities, which is very important as well.
So important. And that actually is a great strategy for so many nonprofits, and similar to some other organizations, which I'm going to pause right now and leave that hanging for our first commercial break. And we'll talk about that when we return. You're listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice at 10:30. The Voice. We'll be right back.
Little OJ's to put a little spring in your step this morning, Lydia.
It sure does. I love music, and I certainly do love music. So thank you, Matt. You always have these great, great vibes that help kick off a wonderful Monday, and it is going to be a hot one, and we were spoiled for so many Mondays in a row having some overcast, actually making it rain, so hopefully we'll do that again soon before
we'll
the whole season
we'll
goes.
See.
I think
it's
we may
getting
have
into August, you know what that
yeah,
means, but
it gets a little tough.
It's not over yet, so.
It gets a little tough.
We've got to get through this week first.
That's right. So hopefully everybody's making sure to keep their sunscreen on and keeping hydrated.
A lot of water.
It's so important. And with the importance of taking care of ourselves, self-advocating is what we were just speaking about with our first hour guest, who is Ruth Ann Strom, the executive director of the ARC of Tempe. Ruth Ann, thank you so much for joining us. Something you said in your commentary right before the break was in the mission and the values of ARC, or really with anybody who's advocating, is making sure to learn how to speak up, how to use your voice. And we talk about advocates being able to be the voice for those who don't have one. And equally important is trying to help instill others to find their own voice. And that's something that you are doing, and that ARC really is the power of parents. That's something I've heard you say, something I see across many of the ARC affiliates, whether down here in Southern Arizona, up there in Central Arizona, or across the country. So I think you were just starting to tell us a little bit more about the formation of ARC and how it came about by parents. Do you know a little bit more about that story?
So I know for Tempe, there was about five or six parents back in the early 60s that just decided they were going to come together to create opportunities. And I think, and really the main focus, the main word there is opportunity. And so they came together, they started an ARC chapter, mm-hmm. and then later on, years later, became a 501c3.
Okay.
And so we have been a staple in Tempe for the last 60 years.
So important. And I think as we have just come out of, I mean, we're just launching into August, but July is known as National Disability Pride Month. And it would seem to me that often when community is thinking about special abilities or disabilities, they might be thinking of the physical, where ARC, it seems to me, focuses much, especially ARC of Tempe, on the intellectual and developmental disabilities. So those are more invisible to folks and would probably lead to people needing to use their voice differently for folks who are advocates and supporters and the stakeholders of the support of this demographic would be, in this community, would be a little bit different, because first, probably a lot of explanation has to happen. Am I on track with that?
Yes, definitely. And we try to be inclusive to all. In fact, the ARC of Tempe, in partnership with the ARC of Arizona and through the Arizona Developmental Disabilities Planning Council, we run the Arizona Statewide Self-Advocacy Coalition, and that is called Arizona Achieve. And that's very important for people to hear, to know about, and it's a cross-disability coalition.
Wonderful.
And it's absolutely, absolutely incredible. We serve members from all the way up north past Tuba City, down south in the southern Arizona, the Tucson area, mm-hmm. east-west. Our goal is everybody in Arizona knows about our coalition. We've been involved in very important stakeholder meetings. We meet monthly virtually. We talk about policy. We talk about new rules, laws that affect our community. We talk about, we're just going to be talking about entrepreneurship. There's a high interest in how our coalition members can start their own businesses. And it is so important to know that it's across disability. Although the ARC of Tempe is intellectual and developmental, our coalition is across disability. And with that being said, with the ARC and the intellectual and developmental disability, nobody is turned away. So
that's so important. So not only the type of disability, but the person who holds that, it's not just for them, but their family, their colleagues, their supporters, their caregivers. It seems like it's such a nice collection. Like you said, coalition building is so important to not only support and advocacy, but really to helping to build new solutions that are community-wide and letting people know how they can help, even if perhaps they're not directly involved.
Absolutely. So advocacy is not just for the person. It is for the community, for the family. And if people are interested, we, on our website, we currently have been putting together some self-advocacy trainings. And so we have a lot of resources on our website under Arizona Achieve, under the heading, and people can sign up to receive literature and trainings on advocacy, how to be a better advocate. And that really just goes for everybody. I know that we all could use a little help sometimes standing up for ourselves. So just being able to learn how to express ourselves, not even just standing up for ourselves, but just talking to others, expressing your wants, your needs, your desires, and
maybe
and
even
how,
some frustrations or some challenges that people are having, seeing if others have a solution because maybe they've walked that path already.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just a really powerful learning cooperative. So everybody is invited.
I am actually pulling up Arizona Achieve right now. And I love that it just starts with self-advocacy and leadership is right there in the logo and in the tagline. Bringing together self-advocacy groups from all corners of the state. Building coalition is so important, and I'm really glad that you have brought that up. I know that we are getting a little bit close to our next break, But I want to really emphasize that although you're ARC of Tempe, this the Arizona Achieve is a statewide coalition, something that you founded and strengthened and put together even in the throes of pandemic just a few short years ago. I mean, sometimes it seems like a long time ago, but it really wasn't that far away, where everybody was struggling on how to stay connected and new challenges were coming up. I have to imagine with the particular intellectual disabilities, developmental disabilities, virtual connection might not have always been the best for everybody involved.
That's very true. So
like it could have been special challenges about communication and feeling comfortable on technology and things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the pandemic changed that greatly. And prior to the pandemic, our services were offered only in person. Mm-hmm. And then during the pandemic, we, like everybody else, pivoted to virtual. But there was a huge positive that came out of that. And so now currently we do in-person, but also virtual activities. So we run a hybrid schedule because some people now just prefer to do hybrid opportunities.
They've become comfortable with it. Yes. Confident too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's been pretty amazing.
That's great. Well, we're going to take our next commercial break. So let's hold on that. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some other events. You're listening to Rainmakers, the morning voice on 1030 The Voice, KVOI.
Don't forget, you can follow along with us on Facebook. 1030 The Voice is the page, or YouTube. 1030 The Voice is the channel. Hit the like and subscribe button. We will see you there. Morning Voice will be right back.
Family, welcome back. We are here on Monday, August 4th, sitting in the studio of KVOI here in Tucson with Matt Neely behind the glass, keeping us right on track, playing the great tunes. I love the Sister Sledge. We are family because we have been talking about coalition here this morning with our special guest, Ruth Ann Strom, who is executive director of the ARC of Tempe, but a longtime advocate herself. Not only for herself and her family, but for many others in the community, and working in behavioral health and other related, I'm going to say, ancillary services and industries. Ruth Ann, thanks again for being with us this warm August morning.
Thank you, Lydia. I'm so happy to be here. And so it is warm.
It is warm. It's been a warm weekend, and we're just going to get through it. So we were speaking before the break about the power of coalition and how this ties into advocacy and self-advocacy. And one of the things, and I'm just going to give you the shout out again, is that you all there at ARC of Tempe, and you in particular, have spearheaded this wonderful creation of a statewide coalition called Arizona Achieve. And it really brings together many of the other ARC affiliates, but also those who are supportive of advocacy in the disability, particularly, but not exclusive to intellectual and developmental disabilities, but it also might be other kinds of needs, other kinds of physical disabilities or special abilities. And I really commend all of you for that, because without building that kind of alliance, those strategic alliances are really how industries or issues move forward, and how we are able to build solutions that are so inclusive of others. So first of all, congratulations again on that. Secondly, I love that on I love that on your website, on the section that says Arizona Achieve, at the bottom of the website is a hot link button that people can click to get involved. But instead of only saying get involved, you have joined the movement. And that really, I think, shows the power of that, that the coalition is about action as well as support. And it seems to me that that implies forward moving, which is always the exciting part. So when people do click on that and get involved, not only, I'm going to guess, they're signing up, sharing their name and contact information, but do they get to attend events, or how does it work when somebody gets involved in Arizona Achieve?
Sure. So yes, so they do get to attend events. We have a monthly coalition meeting once a month on Fridays, and it's virtual, and it's just a wonderful collective of people getting together and discussing hot button issues or talking about entrepreneurship or talking about an issue or situation or concern they have in their personal life. That could be with their family, with work, or, you know, just kind of coming together and looking at solutions to problems, to issues, to living a better life. How can we do that? How can we help our community feel more included and be more included and happier, you know, in their overall lives?
Which is so great. And you hit on a couple of keywords that just make me smile and kind of make my tail wag and my ears perk up. And that is when you talk about entrepreneurship, you know, small business is just so important to everybody in every community. But it's particularly in our state, you know, Arizona is so known for successful small business, for enticing and encouraging entrepreneurship. And with a statewide coalition like Arizona Achieve that brings together some of the special needs or the special abilities and developmental disability attentions, but folks who themselves also have special talents and special skills that could be perfectly applicable to a small business. So in full disclosure, wearing my hat of serving on the Minority and Small Business Alliance of Southern Arizona's board, this is one of the things that actually you and I have talked about in the past, is how do we encourage and how do we get more folks to maybe come together around programming or workshops or how-tos to be able to expand successful entrepreneurs who may be members of the disability community. So do you find that some of that is picking up a little bit more now, again, now that we're a couple of years out of pandemic, and also we're having a challenging economic time right now, that sometimes it might be easier for folks to have a side hustle, if you will, you know, maybe some sort of small business that also they can be proud of and that uses some of their talents?
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of concern about Medicaid and access locally. And I do think that people want to work for themselves. They want to be involved. They want to earn their own money. They, you know, disability or no disability, I think we're all looking for something to be proud of, to invest our time and our energies in. And so, yes, so recently, I would say the last year, there's been more discussion, more talk about entrepreneurship, how our coalition members can start their own businesses, how they can be more involved in working in the community. And it's really exciting. And I'm so happy that they're interested in it. The coalition is starting to talk about it. And so we're always looking for people to volunteer or new coalition members to come and, you know, maybe somebody does have a small business already. Mm-hmm. And so doing some learnings or just sharing the information, I think, and that's the, one of the main things, one of the main purposes of the coalition is just sharing information, and that fellowship and that support is so important to everybody. I feel like to our community and especially statewide,
right?
Because for people that may not maybe meet somebody that lives in Tuba City, they may not meet somebody that lives down in Southern Arizona, and the coalition gives them the opportunity to connect and in ways that they wouldn't have been able to.
Right. And not only just to, like you said, not only to have that fellowship and be able to establish some camaraderie, but there may be some really interesting, somebody may have, you know, a very similar experience that is a little bit unique or maybe less common. And when they connect from the far corners of our state, it might be toward a solution or toward a resource that maybe isn't available locally for one or the other, but then they have found that in each other. And I've just always been such a huge champion of, you know, we need to create these strategic alliances. And those of us who are out and about, like you are, you're very present in so many places physically, but also, you know, in your work, your network is quite large, that we need to do all we can to help connect those dots for others. So that's part of what I just think is so great with this. And you did mention, you know, challenges that are very common even outside of this particular group and community. There can be camaraderie with other like-minded communities. So I'm thinking of, you know, we've had on the show the Children's Action Alliance and January Contreras, and many of the issues that children need across our state, but they are common, mm-hmm. whether or not it is in the disability space, whether it is in the elderly space. You know, there are some commonalities with economics, with programs that help ensure that we all have access to quality health care, whether we earn a lot of money or don't, or some folks who are very well employed. I'm going to imagine including some of your constituents may have, you know, employment or may have income, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it comes with a full-blown health benefits. You know, those are the kind of things that we need mm-hmm. other programs for. So I'm really glad that you touched on that. You know, these are the things: education, entrepreneurship, opportunity to succeed, opportunity to be involved that cross all barriers and all lines. And building these coalitions and strengthening them is really important. I hope that going forward, the MSBA SA down here in Tucson and all across Southern Arizona can perhaps get more engaged with your coalition and see if we might offer some workshops together. I'm also thinking about ASBA, the Arizona Small Business Association, has recently retooled and refocused to expand into greater Arizona, both up north and down south. So there might be some opportunities there. I know we're getting ready to go to our next commercial break, so I'm just going to hold that as a teaser, Ruth Ann, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about upcoming events and programs when we come back from this break. Would that be all right?
That's great. Thank you.
Okay. Matt, take us away.
The Morning Voice will be right back after a couple of brief messages from our sponsors.
If you feel like that's what you want to do. And we are back from our last commercial break, ending this first hour of our two-hour show, Rainmakers, on Monday, the Monday segment of The Morning Voice. This is Monday, August 4th, and we have had a wonderful conversation with a fabulous leader and advocate in community, Ruth Ann Strom, who is executive director of the Arc of Tempe, but is very engaged all over the state and all over the nation with advocacy issues, particularly for those with intellectual and developmental disabilities, but so inclusive, and having launched a wonderful statewide Arizona coalition called Arizona Achieve. And Ruth Ann, it's just been so great. You've opened up our eyes and our ears to so many more opportunities that folks can get involved with this community and with your coalition. Kind of in an easy way. All they have to do is kind of go to your website and click and start to join and also find out about other ways to get involved. What am I missing there? It almost sounds too easy.
It is very easy. We have designed it on purpose to be easy because we do want the support of the community. We want the interaction with the community. We want people to join us. And if you have any interest in what advocacy looks like, what does it mean? How can we do it? How can we support people advocating for themselves?
I think
it's important work.
Absolutely. Very important. That's what I was going to say. And in addition to, so let's first tell folks how they can find you on the web. It's the ARC, A-R-C, the ARC of Tempe.org, correct?
Correct.
Wonderful. And when they get in there, I know because I've looked at it in the past and I've been looking as we were talking this morning. There is a section about resources. And if you tap on resources, I'm sorry, there are lots of different
what
lists of resources,
do.
But in what we do, there we go. Member programs, Arizona Achieve, they can join the movement there. Or there's another section, SELF, S-E-L-F, and that stands for Seeking Equality, Leading to Fairness. So that tells a little bit more about self-advocacy and getting engaged in that aspect, correct? And has a hot button to join that too.
Yes, definitely. So SELF is the Arc of Tempe's self-advocacy group, and that's how it started, is we formed our own self-advocacy group, and then we were honored to partner with the Arc of Arizona and the Planning Council to start Arizona Achieve, which is the statewide coalition.
And when you talk about the Planning Council, you mean the Arizona Developmental Disabilities Planning Council that is a that is federally funded, but it is located here in our state. Am I understanding that correctly? Okay, good. I want to make sure I'm describing all those little, you know, spokes and hubs. It seems like you are a hub for so many resources for our community. And, you know, as we were coming into this section, our great producer, Matt, was playing the song Happy. And in that song, it's telling people to clap along or do what you want to do. You know, what are you feeling? Get involved. And that kind of reminds me about what you're saying to folks here, that if they want to get involved, whether it's the Arc of Tempe, the Arc of Tucson, the Arizona Arc, other affiliates around the country, they can start by going to your website and learning more. And from there, really expand out in whichever direction.
There's so much to get involved with. There's so much opportunity in, like you said, not just local, but national. If you're listening and you're in another state, or you know somebody in another state, chances are there's an ARC chapter, at least one, in that state. And so all of our ARC chapters are just doing really amazing things. And so I suggest take a look at the website, reach out if you have questions. And our ARC chapters are always looking for volunteers. Doesn't have to be financial. It can be your time, and which is so greatly appreciated as well. So.
Absolutely. Talent, time, or treasure, and or, you know, it can be any of those things. And again, big push that I've seen ARC doing, and we started off this hour talking about your travels to Washington, D.C. to make sure to not only meet with leaders, but to be on the Hill and advocating. Medicaid vigil has been a big thing that ARC has been doing nationally. And how's that going in Arizona? Are those kind of movements happening here in our state? I have to imagine that they are, with that being such a big issue here in Arizona.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we're all just, we're advocating, we're doing what we can, but we also have to take a little bit of a wait and see as well.
Yes.
Like a lot of states. And so it obviously is a concern. People would lose medical benefits and, you know, we could talk for hours about that, but
we will have to save that though for another show. I know that we're getting ready to wrap up right here. Ruth Ann Strom, Executive Director of the Arc of Tempe, but also leader, friend, influencer, and advocate extraordinaire here in Arizona and across the country. It's been such a pleasure having you on this morning. I hope that you'll come back and chat with us again, and maybe even in studio next time.
I would love that. Thank you so much for allowing me to come share what we're doing and the important work in our community.
Well, I appreciate you. I know our listeners do as well, and appreciate all the hard work. So make it a great week, and we're wishing you a great August, and I know we'll be in touch soon. Thanks for being here on Rainmakers, the Monday segment of The Morning Voice, positive talk weekday radio here at KVOI 1030 The Voice. Ruth Ann, you and your team have a wonderful week. We'll be back soon.
Thanks, you as well.
Well, that ties a bow on the first hour, doesn't it, Lydia? It goes quick.
It really does. It goes so quickly. And with that arc, and I know that we often talk about rain, and sometimes our energy actually making it rain physically here in Southern Arizona. But with that arc, I'm thinking of rainbows.
Well, tell the folks who's coming up right after the news.
We are so excited for the second hour. We are going to have AARP here. Angela Murphy, the Southern Arizona director, and also Jim Murphy, well-known influencer and leader here in community. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
And we're back for our second hour on this Monday, August 4th. This is Rainmakers, the Monday segment of The Morning Voice, positive talk weekday radio here at KVOI 1030 The Voice. And I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. Matt Neely, that first hour just flew by, didn't it?
Goes by quickly.
It really does. It's a warm morning, but so far I think we haven't quite hit 90 yet, so I'm thinking
we're
it's
still
a nice
doing
morning.
Okay. So still time to enjoy a peaceful and relatively cool morning.
That's right.
But not much.
Well, I'm excited. We had a wonderful and dynamic first hour with Ruth Ann Strom, the executive director of the Arc of Tempe, who was talking not only about what's going on in Central Arizona, but really this statewide coalition called Arizona Achieve, which brings a lot of the Arc affiliates as well as stakeholders and supporters together. And now we're going into another fabulous organization that is not only statewide, but nationwide, and that is AARP. We have in studio this morning Jim Murphy, who is well known here in Southern Arizona and all around the state for all of your work. Jim, it's so great to have you here. Your past work in elected office, in community services, in making sure that Southern Arizona families, small businesses, and individuals are really doing well and have the kind of resources and services they need. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
Well, very happy to have you here. And today you're wearing the hat of the head of volunteers from Southern Arizona, or certainly a lead volunteer in the AARP Volunteer Corps. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Wonderful. We also have Angela Schultz. Angela is the newer, it's been about 7 months now, wasn't it, around January, February, that you started in your new role, Angela?
Yeah, I started in January.
Wonderful. And that is the Southern Arizona, let's see if I have it right, Associate Director, I should probably just look it up, Associate Director of Outreach and Advocacy for Southern Arizona for AARP Arizona. So welcome.
Thank you. Yes, it's a very long title.
It seems like being able to just put everything that we do in a title sometimes even in an email or a website address, it just goes on and on. But it's true that you do an awful lot. Being the voice of Southern Arizona for advocacy takes a lot. So we are so excited to have you here. You have a strong background in constituency services, working for elected officials, but also in other realms. Tell our listeners a little bit more about your career path.
Yeah, I am a social worker. I got my MSW from Arizona State University, and Kirsten Sinema was my social work professor. That's how I met her. And so when she got elected to U.S. Congress and the House of Representatives, I became her director of constituent services in the House, and then continued to work for her into the Senate until 2022-ish, I think it was. So about 9 years. So I ran the whole constituent services team and did outreach across the state of Arizona, focusing primarily on veterans and then older adults. And so doing a lot of work around dementia and then helping veterans also receive the benefits that they've earned. And there's lots of different agencies involved in that.
Sure.
But really navigating kind of all the different systems in place there, and then also helping like implement when they did the VA Choice Act after we had an issue with the Phoenix VA, just kind of educating the community about what that looks like and how that's going to impact their care. And then after that, I went on to work for another national nonprofit helping to improve end-of-life care. So I did that for about 2 years before coming to AARP. So
wonderful. Well, we welcome you. We're excited that you're here. I am sure even though it's similar, constituency work, you know, has kind of a formula to it that I think we all carry no matter which hat we're wearing. But really going into AARP, fabulous organization, been around a long time. But what you are both here to talk about that I'm excited about is not only what's going on in Southern Arizona with AARP, but also the pledge to fight for Social Security, because August marks 90 years of Social Security. And it seems that AARP is, the wonderful advocate that it, as an organization is, has been making the shout out for so many different issues and resources for our seniors, and Social Security being one of it. Tell us more about We Earned It.
Yeah, so August 14th is actually going to be 90 years exactly for Social Security, and Social Security has been one of the most popular initiatives ever. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to note that it is expected that by 2034, that the Social Security Trust Fund is expected to be depleted. So,
and that is coming up quickly. That is not far away at all.
I know. And as a social worker, it's interesting because I remember in early 2000 them saying, like, you're not going to have Social Security by 2030. And I'm like thinking, like, well, that's a long time away.
That's forever. That's forever in the future. And
I know.
Suddenly it's here, right on the horizon.
So will we get to celebrate 100 years, right, is what you're thinking. But, I mean, the good news is that when you talk about it, a lot of people, what I used to think and what a lot of my friends, I was just quizzing them on this, is that you think, like, what's going to happen? And mm-hmm. people think it's just going to go away. But that's not the reality. So the trust fund is going to be depleted. But what will happen is that people will receive about 80% of what they're currently collecting, which is still a huge decrease. Mm-hmm. And so what we're really wanting people to know is that, you know, we've been paying into this program. The current adults who have been retired have been paying into this program. They've earned the money. You know, their children have earned the money. I've been paying into this program. You know, we want this program to be around for, you know, my children, the, you know, grandchildren, so that this program can keep going around. It's been a huge benefit to society, and we want it to be around for 100 years. So we want, you know, Congress to take action. This has been a bipartisan issue, sure. You know, for ever since it's been around. Again, it's been super popular. And so the last time action was taken on this to try to, you know, solve it was 1983. And so it's time.
Oh, goodness, I didn't realize that it had only been being talked about but not really talked about that long.
Yeah. So
even with all the discussions that have been coming up in recent years, you'd think that that different kinds of conversations, but we have a lot of other things that are being challenging in our economic stability for families and seniors and veterans. You brought up veterans. So I'm going to switch it over to you, Jim, for a moment, if I could. So in your role in the volunteer corps here in Tucson and all across Southern Arizona, that's a pretty huge group of folks that are volunteering to help support AARP, and many of them themselves are seniors, right? It's not just current career age folks.
That's true. I think in most volunteer areas, supporting nonprofits through Southern Arizona, it's an older population.
Yeah.
One, because many of them are retired or semi-retired, they have a little more time.
Sure, but also wisdom
and
experience.
When you're younger and raising a family, and it's more difficult to find time to volunteer. But many people do mm-hmm. in a variety of different ways, which is very fortunate. But in terms of the older population and Social Security, many of the older people today in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, the majority are women, outliving us men. I don't know why, but
we're going to call it good living.
And many of the men worked in jobs that had no retirement. So for many older women, the only income they have is Social Security. They didn't have retirement plans. They didn't have opportunities to put money away in mm-hmm. some other forms of savings. Mm-hmm. So Social Security is the backbone of so many older adults. And it's so important today because we're not together like we used to be.
Yes.
There used to be, particularly in Congress and our state legislature, a coalition of Democrats, Republicans, Independents who come together, were able to talk to each other, to work things out. And Social Security has not been as big a political football as some other subjects, but that's not true
especially
today,
this year.
As we know.
Especially this year, it seems like some other things have really risen to the top.
It's been coming for a while, yes. So other programs are in the same situation, but Social Security is the bedrock for so many older people. So that's why the APR staff, volunteers, and others are trying to do as much education to try to protect what we have, to talk about some solutions maybe, and to kind of educate the younger population that this is something that they might want to start looking at. I know myself, I didn't think much about retirement. Even in my 40s, I don't think I thought a lot about it. I was putting a little money away if I could, mm-hmm. But it was as much for emergency as was for my future living, you know, after the work environment. The boomers today, most people weren't thinking about older adults until the boomer population had to start taking care of mom or grandma. And now the issues of older dates are much more prevalent and much more in front of us than they ever have been in the past. And that's a big population that's coming into retirement themselves. So one, we need to educate them, but we need to educate those in their 20s and 30s and 40s about looking to the future and talking about savings and talking about Social Security. So it's a big kind of marketing educational job.
Well, and it sounds like your work is cut out for you, Angela and Jim, that with the Southern Arizona, Tucson and the surrounding areas of AARP Arizona, that there are lots of ways that folks can actually continue to come and learn more through workshops, through virtuals, sometimes just also volunteering themselves are going to, the chatter that's going to happen amongst each other. And maybe we can talk about that when we come back. We're already at our first commercial break. So let's pause there. And as Matt takes us out, probably with some groovy tunes, I think the Dramatics are starting to play. So we'll talk more when we come back from the break. Stay tuned. This is Rainmakers, the Morning Voice. And we're back here in the KVOI studios. This is Lydia Aranda. I am your host of Rainmakers, which is the Monday segment of The Morning Voice. Matt Neely behind the screen, keeping us on time. And here in our second hour of today's show, we have Jim Murphy and Angela Schultz from AARP Arizona, particularly AARP Southern Arizona, hubbed right here out of Tucson. And we are speaking about the fast approaching August 14th anniversary, 90th anniversary of Social Security. Matt, isn't that amazing? 90 years?
90 years. And caught my interest in the first segment. So for people who just tune in, you might want to reiterate the part about everybody taking a 20% haircut starting in 2035. Is that what you said? Like it's a 20% off the top?
That's, I think, what we're hearing.
2033.
So that's for even for people that are already getting their benefits. It's mm-hmm. not for people just starting then.
Yes, and what I'm understanding with that cut, and the reason, you know, it's just approaching so quickly. I know that sometimes, especially for those that are a little bit younger, they think anything in the 2030s is far away. But you know, we're at 2025; that's just right around the corner. And what I'm understanding from some of the statistics is nearly 2 in 3 retired Americans say they rely substantially, not just a little bit, but substantially on Social Security. And Jim, you were talking about that in our last segment, that many of those folks are women because they may not have had other means of pensions, 401ks, or other kind of retirement tools. Yes?
Yes, and what kind of exacerbates that is the fact that we're so mobile today, mm-hmm. and so many women, their children are not in the same communities. Like in Tucson, they don't live here now. They live in
elsewhere,
Seattle or somewhere else.
Sure.
So they're not close to their
families
mother
are spread
or
apart.
Other relatives to help mm-hmm. out, and it affects every part of their living, the money they have available for housing, for food. Just to exist, and there's not enough housing for people of lower income.
That's right.
Many who are elderly. The food bank, which is not far from here, has a growing number of older adults mm-hmm. getting food from the food bank. So Social Security oftentimes is what they have, and some, you know, are getting only $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year. Maybe even if it's $2,000, you know.
It's not much.
You can't live on
for
that
for a household.
Today.
Right.
We have grandchildren in their 20s who are finding it hard to find an affordable apartment and make a living in their 20s. So Social Security is so important to so many facets of our lives today.
Absolutely. And like the phrase goes in the campaign that you all are having, Angela, so the campaign nationwide is We Earned It. And that's really to draw attention not only to the anniversary, but around the anniversary, this campaign of We Earned It is to advocate, to raise voices, to raise awareness, to get people involved, and some calls to action. I believe to take a pledge. And if people go to the website of aarp.org/AZ, they're going to find out more about the pledge to fight for Social Security. Tell us about the upcoming event that we're going to have here in Pima County, here in Tucson, I believe on August 21st at the Chinese Cultural Center.
Yes. So first of all, too, thank you so much for having us. I think a lot of times, too, people hear about AARP and think like my health insurance or like my benefits, but we do so much locally and local events, so I appreciate you having us on to talk about this.
You bet.
And then Jim was talking about housing. So the state is having their statewide housing conference on August 14th. So they stole my date.
Oh, goodness.
And I'm going to the conference.
I know. You'll have to be shouting in the, you know, in the, at the luncheon.
I know.
Walking through the expo.
So that's where we're having it on the 21st, which is the following Thursday. So on August 21st at the Tucson Chinese Cultural Center, we'll be having from 2 to 3:30. We'll be having it's a Social Security sweetest celebration. We'll be having some refreshments, and it's going to be like an ice cream sundae. I'm getting the sundae catered.
You won't be there, Scoopy. You and
no.
Jim won't be there with your aprons and your scoopers.
I found somebody who will cater it all. They like scoop it out.
Oh, but ice cream on a hot August day.
I know, there's nothing better than that. And then we'll be playing some Social Security trivia. And I mixed in some like 1935 and Tucson trivia as well with it.
Wonderful.
Just so that people can learn a little bit more. People can also take the pledge there, become like a Social Security advocate as well. We also just did like a study and found that most people don't understand, you know, what happens if they take their Social Security out early, or what are the benefits of waiting until they're, you know, if you're older,
right?
Waiting until you're 70 to take your Social Security out.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that the study showed too is, you know, what Jim was talking about, and also what, you know, I've always heard, like, Social Security is not going to be around when you're older. But so many people do rely on Social Security for their retirement, that people that are, you know, between the ages of like 20 and 50 are very much so underestimating the importance that Social Security is going to play in their retirement.
Yes.
And so that just came out, which also freaks me out, because I have been underestimating probably how much it's going to play. So really educating people, because the longer Congress waits to take action,
The longer it'll be for a solution.
Well, and the more extreme it's going to have to be.
Sure.
You know, and the president has already stated that he, you know, fully supports Social Security and keeping it intact. And protecting and strengthening it. So we really need Congress to take action. So,
well, and, you know, with all due respect to all of our elected officials, that talking about understanding the importance of something, but getting together, getting beyond whatever the challenges are to be able to then build a solution and then implement it, those are three different things. And you kind of need all of them to happen and to go in place. I'm preaching to the choir. I'm looking at you, Jim. Anybody listening in who isn't perhaps watching us live could see me pointing at Jim to say, in all of the roles you've held, locally, countywide, and other many hats that you continue to wear these days. I'm sure that you would agree that it's one thing to nod heads and to shake hands and to agree, but then what are we going to do about it? And folks are getting anxious. They're already facing, everybody is already looking at the cost of fuel going up, the cost of food going up, the cost of housing, whether people own their home or rent their home or are trying to move. We were teasing Angela a little bit about it, continuing to entice her to spend more time down here, maybe even move. But it's not just easy to just pick up and move anywhere. And so, especially for our retired folks, even if they've had two or three careers in the longevity of a lifespan, but now are in retirement, they may not have as robust of a 401k plan as expected, yeah. Or maybe no pension of any kind. And so Social Security is being important. Jim, we're about to go into our next break, but I want to tee you up. When we come back from break, I'm going to ask you about, so how is this going with the volunteer team that you're engaged with? And how is this spilling over maybe into other events and actions?
Great.
Okay. Stick with us. We are on Rainmakers Monday, August 4th.
The Morning Voice will be right back. You can follow along on Facebook, 1030 The Voice is the page, or YouTube, 1030 The Voice is the channel. We'll see you in just a minute.
And we're back in Rainmakers. This Monday, August 4th. I'm Lydia Aranda, your host for this Monday segment of The Morning Voice, positive talk weekday radio show here on KVOI The Voice in Tucson. Matt Neely, thank you so much for being behind the glass, keeping us on track. And we've had a wonderful show this morning. In our second hour, sitting with me in studio currently are Angela Schultz and Jim Murphy from AARP Southern Arizona. And we've been speaking about all things Social Security and the big campaign and push and advocacy program that AARP is doing all across the country called We Earn It. But I want to bring up also a statistic, if I may. I am understanding that roughly 1 in 4 American adults and family caregivers, a new survey conducted by AARP, and I think the National Association for Caregiving, reports in a comprehensive look at the state of caregiving in America, where caregivers are increasingly taking on more complex responsibilities. That might seem like a no-brainer. That might seem very intuitive, but I think we don't often think about then the ripple effects of that, which are economic, because time is money, and when caregivers are giving of their time to help for family or friends, for loved ones, that is taking them away perhaps from other resources that might come into play. Maybe it's a different earning level. And all those things aside, doesn't help if then anticipated benefits that would come, like Social Security benefits, if that's being hit or if that's about to go away, or if everybody's going to see the 20% cut in that in just a few short years in 2032, 2033, that's just going to exacerbate what the economic hits that everybody's already feeling. Wouldn't you say, Jim, you were talking a little bit about the affordability of housing and that being a challenge, even for younger people, full-blown in the middle of their career. But if we see hits to Social Security, what do we do next? How do we build solution?
Yeah, it's obviously a very difficult subject, and we could talk for hours about caregiving, and Angela might talk a little bit about some of the programs that are coming up to help individuals in caregiving roles. But again, in terms of Social Security, we've got to begin talking to each other.
Right.
Historically.
Meaning across the aisle and next to each other, right?
That's right. Neighbor to neighbor, church to pew, whatever. you mentioned I had kind of an eclectic kind of life with being an elected official and then a public administrator, two strikes against me already.
I say pluses. Big pluses. Lots of experience there.
But in that elected role, I didn't know much when I first got elected. I admit that. Just happened to be in the right place at the right time, but I learned. When I was on the County Board of Supervisors, it was a different time, a different era. We met all day. We'd make our points on the dais. We might give a little jab to one of our other elected officials, but then we'd break, have lunch, mm-hmm. talk to each other, come back, and get the business done.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same way with the legislature at that time in the 70s, 80s, 90s. I don't know when it started to change, but whether it was a Democratic-controlled legislature or a Republican-controlled legiture, it was really a coalition all the time that got right. business done. And that's what we need with Social Security and so many of our other issues today, is people coming together, understanding that you've got to put yourself out a little bit.
Yes, you have to give a little in order to get.
Yeah, and some of us are better off than others. My wife and I all the time look at someone or a certain circumstances and say how blessed we are mm-hmm. that we're not in that kind of situation. But then we try to do something about it to
right.
the extent we can, the volunteer dollars or whatever. And I think we need, that's kind of the message that AARP, maybe in different language, is taking, is doing education about the issue, trying to let people know what can be done, giving a handout and a hand up. So those are the sort of things that are important with Social Security. And again, whether you talk about housing or food or whatever.
The idea is that it's money, it's funds, it's resources, it's benefits that are coming in, and that helps every household, regardless right. of what the particular challenge might be. And even for those who may not have particular challenges, getting a cut to what's expected is going to impact everybody. So it has that ripple effect. Jim, I really appreciate your perspective on that. Angela, let's remind people that this is not just a Southern Arizona or an Arizona issue. This is nationwide, and AARP has always been great taking big issues that are important to everyone, to all seniors. Full disclosure, of course, Alex Juarez, a good friend and great colleague, and he's making all kinds of strides getting the word out as the Arizona, as AARP Arizona's Director of Communications. So I know that he's excited about supporting you in Southern Arizona in the upcoming event, which again is August 21st at Chinese Cultural Center. Can folks, can they just show up? Do they RSVP ahead of time? What would you prefer?
It would be great if they went on the website. It's I always find it easiest just to Google AARP Arizona Tucson events, but
okay.
it is local.aarp.org/Tucson.
Okay.
And if you go there, right at the top are all of the Social Security events that are happening in the state.
Oh, great.
And so just look for the Tucson event and go register for that one.
So people can even, Jim, they could form a coalition and kind of travel to several of the events. They don't only have to go to their local event. Is that correct?
They could, yes.
That's true. But if you look at the advertising, Angela has food and fun.
And,
yes.
And,
so that seems to be attracting maybe some more people.
And I have trivia and prizes. And when I showed my husband the prizes, he made me buy some for him. So they're good prizes.
Wonderful. Well, and you also mentioned, Angela, in a, right at the beginning of our show that August 14th is actually the anniversary date, the 90th anniversary of Social Security in the U.S. So, but that date, there's something else exciting going on in Arizona. That's our friends over at the Arizona Department of Housing are having their annual housing solutions conference. Mm-hmm. So while that may conflict date-wise, I have to imagine an awful lot of people are going to be in that room because that conference comes, it bounces between Phoenix and Tucson every year. And that the folks in that room are going to be also very aware of the impact of Social Security benefits, the affordability of housing, the issues that impact households. So it sounds like a great way to continue to be vocal, even at other folks' events.
Yeah, and Jim's actually our lead housing, he's my housing expert.
Yay!
But he's our lead housing volunteer, so.
Wonderful. Jim, I see you with a very colorful pamphlet there. Do you want to put it up to the cameras for folks to see?
Yeah, housing has traditionally, like other things for people of moderate or low income, always been a challenge.
Sure.
And a number of years ago, we formed kind of a coalition between AARP, Elder Alliance of the United Way, and Tucson Housing Foundation mm-hmm. to talk about housing, particularly for older adults. But we realized that whatever might help older adults probably help everybody else. So although our focus in our mind was on older adults, because many of us have been planning efforts and older adults are never mentioned. Kids and, you know, diseases and everything else are mentioned, but older adults weren't. Again, like I said earlier, until the boomers started to have to take care of mom and grandma, it hasn't been an issue.
All of a sudden, it got much more vocal, much more presence.
We were planning a full-day conference, and COVID came along, and we had to change it. So we had 5 2-hour sessions. And as a result of that and issues that were raised, over a period of time, we developed the Arizona Initiative for Housing for Older Adults.
Oh, wonderful.
So it is a publication that is available. I don't know if this can be seen on the camera
yes,
or not.
You're going to be right in that camera, okay. So we'll be able to snap some stills, too.
The city has done a good job, and as have the county, in looking at the issues and the recommendations that were made in this, and many of the recommendations have been incorporated since in plans that the city and the county have developed. So we take our hats off for that, but there's still so much more can be done in terms of housing. There's not near enough housing, obviously, for
it's a big issue everywhere.
Low-income people of all ages. The homelessness issue exacerbates that.
And I think there's a distinction, or I think it's important to always think of the distinction. There is homelessness, and then there are people that do have income, good, steady income. It just might be at a lower level, so the affordability needs to be different. We're getting ready to go to break here right now, okay. So I'm going to pause right there. You're listening to Rainmakers, and we're speaking with AARP of Southern Arizona. Please stay tuned. And we're back with Rainmakers. This is our final segment this morning on Monday, August 4th. I'm Lydia Aranda, your host, and in studio with me this morning, Jim Murphy and Angela Schultz from AARP Southern Arizona. Jim, right before the break, we were talking about the affordability of housing, and Angela, you and I were kind of linking that as one of the big issues that really makes a difference, especially if people are dependent on their Social Security for their income. All the rising prices of so many things can go up. And Jim, I think you were sharing with us not only the coalition and the alliance that had been built to kind of tackle some of these issues with older, with our older folks, the Elder Alliance of United Way joining with AARP and others. But then we started to talk about older adults and their homes,
right.
And many of the resources, informational resources, as well as how-to guides that AARP offers for folks to be thinking about maybe how to retrofit their home. We think about this a lot when we have kids, especially young babies and growing kids to baby-proof a house.
Nice.
But we also then want to make sure that our homes are comfortable and safe so we can age in place. Talk about that home fit guide.
Okay, let me first go to what's happening today,
okay.
As well as planning for the future, which would be the home fit. So today, like you mentioned, so many people like to age in place. And as you get into your 60s, 70s, and 80s, you cannot take care of your place like you used to.
Sure.
Financially, we know that people are living longer. They're outliving the money that they had put aside. Yeah, so people are being forced out of their house, not because they want to, but because they can't keep it up. So, one, there are programs in the community that are home repair and adaptation resources for older adults and others in the community. Pima Council on Aging is a good resource for that, to find out where all the resources are for home repair and modification. There are a number of nonprofits who do that sort of thing. The City of Tucson does, but Pima Council on Aging can give you all that information rather than you having to pick it up. So that's a big help. If your cooler goes out, you have an electrical problem, you need a ramp now to your home.
Sure.
Mobile homes is another situation. Mobile home and manufactured homes. We have so many older people living in older mobile homes, very difficult to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
They're not built the same way from an environmental heat standpoint.
And so, retrofitting mobile homes is more of a challenge. It's a different kind of challenge than a standard, traditional home.
Excuse me. And there are more resources available today. In fact, there's a mobile home task force that meets monthly talking about all the issues, particularly for older adults, but low income. And then we come to planning for the future, as you said.
Yes.
So AARP does have a tremendous home fit guide.
Wonderful.
Available for everybody, and it goes into every room, the entrance, the foyer, the kitchen, the dining room, the living room, the bedroom, closets, the
bathrooms
garage.
And showers is a big deal, and making sure that bathtub, instead of bathtubs, maybe showers, so that folks can be safe.
Little things like rugs.
Yep.
So
rugs.
This is available to everybody. And Angela, there's a major seminar coming up, I think, about this issue also.
Yeah. On October 18th, it's actually going to be at United Way of Tucson in Southern Arizona.
Wonderful. They are great partners to the community. And Venicia Kerr, the new CEO there, has just really rolled up her sleeves and gotten engaged. And we hope to have her here soon on the Rainmaker Show.
Good. Oh, yeah. And there's going to be food there, too.
Yeah.
I think it's
if you feed them, they will
come. I know. That's what we're hoping. And some giveaways. We're getting some giveaways, too. So we're going to do a presentation and get some giveaways that just shows people how to make it can be very simple home modifications that you can make, making sure that you have, taped your rugs to your ground.
Right.
So you don't slip.
So you, not only do you not slip, but you also then don't trip if they have the curling edges. You know, I'm going to shift quickly here because I know we only have about 45 seconds left before our mics go quiet. I want to thank you both for coming into the studio. This is such important information on right now on the We Earned It Social Security campaign nationwide. Folks can get engaged. They can get involved. They can sign up to take the pledge to be an advocate on their own behalf and on the behalf of others. But I also want to ask you both if you might want to consider coming back, because so many issues here. We'd love to have a recurring voice of AARP here on our show to be able to not only promote the good work that you do and get people involved, but let them know how else they can engage with you. Would that be okay?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Wonderful. So August 14th, 90th anniversary. August 21st is going to be the event at the Chinese Cultural Center. October 18th is more about home and retrofitting and adaptation. And if people want to know more, they can go to aarpaz.org, I believe.
Google
or
events.
Just Google
AARP Tucson events
would be the way to go. Jim Murphy, thank you for all you continue to do, for being here this morning. Angela, again, welcome in your newer role, but a very ongoing career in constituent services here with AARP Southern Arizona. You've been listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice, KVOI The Voice. Matt Neely, thanks for keeping us on time and
making it a
good Monday.
Tomorrow, Ted Maxwell will be on Civic Engagement. His guests will be Blake Morlock and Marana Mayor John Post. Win Tucson with Kathleen Wynn coming up right around the corner, right here on 1030 The Voice.